Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture comes from Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
At a recent staff meeting, we spent some time introducing ourselves with new folks who've just begun working at Florence Christian Church. Have several, and it's been great getting to know them. And when he got around to Jeff Moreland, before affirming how much he loves his job as facilities manager, and this was in answer to a question. We had several questions. One of the questions was, if money was no option and failure was not an issue, what would you want to be doing 5 years from now? And Jeff said, "I'd like to be working full-time here rather than part-time." You know, so he was really excited about it. But it got around to him, and he gave a brief overview of his life with Florence Christian Church, which, interestingly enough, began when Jeff was in kindergarten. Kindergarten with none other than Donna Murphy as his teacher. Some of you who are here know both of these individuals. Several decades later, I'm not going to tell you how old Jeff is, but several decades later, Jeff came back with Chris soon after Pastor Diana and I began ministry here and remarked how each of us had preaching styles that attracted him and helped him to want to come back. He said that my sermons reminded him of the History Channel, while Pastor Diana's first sermon included a reference to HBO's Game of Thrones, not something he ever expected to hear from the pulpit, but something he thought was really cool. Now, after he said that, for just about 2 seconds, my mind reverted to a place of insecurity. My sermons remind you of the History Channel? Really? I mean, I like history, but history can be boring. But there's two things that you need to know about Jeff. First, he's a lover of all things science fiction and fantasy adventure, but he is also a major history buff. So Pastor Diana and I could not have received a higher compliment than that. And so we give Jeff our thanks for that. And today, partly in honor of Jeff, partly because it's apparently just my thing, we're going to learn a little history, not only about our scripture text for today, but more importantly, why it is in Matthew's gospel. Because we're going to spend the next few weeks right here in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And we're specifically going to consider today what the word blessed means, not only for the disciples who first heard Jesus' words, but for you and for me as we seek to live out our lives as his followers. And so as we prepare once again to hear God's word that God may be speaking to us, I invite you to join me in prayer. Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks that we come to you today just as we are, blessed, beloved children of yours. And I thank you, God, for the words of Scripture today. And so I pray that those words that we hear from Scripture and the words of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, so let's start with first things first, because this is Jesus' first public act in the Gospel of Matthew. Public act. And what's interesting about this is that each of the four Gospels have a different first public act of Jesus. And that's worth noting because it gives us a clue as to how Jesus and his ministry are understood from the viewpoint of the writer. So let's just take a moment to think about that together. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus performs an exorcism as his first public act. And what does that tell us? It tells us that Mark sees Jesus as the ultimate boundary crosser, the one through whom God tears apart the boundaries that separate God from humanity. From his baptism to his resurrection, Jesus is over and over and over again tearing down walls, tearing apart boundaries that separate God and us. And we either like this God represented in Jesus or we don't, depending on who we need or want God to be. In Luke, Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth, and as his first public act, he preaches a sermon based on the prophet Isaiah. Remember that one in the synagogue? The sermon is the summary of what his ministry will be and for whom. For Luke, Jesus is the savior of the marginalized, the outcast, the unseen. And you remember what happens in this story, right? The people love what they hear. They're amazed as he's quoting Isaiah. That is, until they recognize that Jesus is pointing a finger at their unwillingness to do acts of mercy for those Jesus has come to save. In fact, they are so offended by what Jesus says, they try to throw him off a cliff. And this rejection at Nazareth calls out our unwillingness to imagine that God might be for someone other than ourselves. We are just fine with a Savior who's for us, but not so much for those less than us, whatever that might mean. In the Gospel of John, which Pastor Olivia calls the hippy-dippity gospel, I love that, the wedding at Cana, this proves it out, the wedding at Cana is Jesus' first public act. And it's a sign of abundance. Because turning water into wine, as miraculous as it may appear, isn't really the point of this. The point is how much. 6 jars, 20 to 30 gallons each, filled to the brim of the best wine when you run out of what you have. It's a metaphor for grace upon grace. And that's who Jesus is for John, the very presence of God's amazing, abundant grace. Which brings us to who? Matthew. So who is Jesus for Matthew? Jesus is the teacher of all righteousness. And who does he teach? Our scripture lesson today says that Jesus turned and taught his disciples. That means that being a disciple also means being a learner. As Dallas Willard says, disciples of Jesus are people who do not profess certain views as their own, but applying their growing understanding of life in the kingdom of heaven to every aspect of their life on earth. And so before we get too far into the what of the Sermon on the Mount, it is important for us to ask why. Why was Jesus' first public act a sermon, and why was it first given to the disciples? Part of our tasks for the next 4 weeks is going to let the sermon be heard as a disciple, so that you and I are intentionally being committed to learning again what Jesus is teaching us, not only historically, but for right now. We're going to let the sermon speak for itself in all of its power and all of its challenge. So let's begin with the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, which is also called the Beatitudes. And each of the 9 Beatitudes begins with the very same word, blessed. You are blessed. You have to hear that on the front end, that before everything and anything else, you and I are blessed. But what does the word blessed mean? Because you might be surprised to learn that it is not a feeling. It's not an accomplishment. It's not grounded in success as the world defines success. No, blessed has a very different meaning according to Jesus the teacher. The Greek word is makarios, which appears 50 times in the New Testament. It can be translated as happy, as long as you and I recognize that it means much more than a feeling of well-being or just being in a good mood. Probably the best way to translate makarios is privileged or fortunate. It's with this lens that I want to return to Jesus' words in our text today. Fortunate. Jesus begins his teaching not with a promise of happiness, but with a promise of blessedness. And this only makes sense in light of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as it is called in Matthew's gospel. They're one and the same. Jesus' teaching begins and ends with the kingdom. In chapter 4, just before our reading begins for today, Jesus declares that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And this kingdom sets a new frame of reference for what it means to be blessed. You see, in this kingdom or realm of God, being blessed does not depend on wealth or health or status. It is not a reward for right living or fulfilling religious duty. Instead, being blessed is God's gift, a gift that has nothing to do with honor or shame, but comes by the promise of abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. And here's the thing. It is in the midst of mourning and poverty of spirit and meekness that we can most clearly see this gift of life abundant. For example, look with me again at the first beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when someone is poor in spirit, they're empty of themselves. And when they're empty of self-concern, of selfishness, they get free of the clutter in their lives and are therefore available to the things of God. But when we're full of ourselves, we want to be in control, right? We're self-focused, and we get preoccupied by making sure we display our wisdom or knowledge or what we can do, and we so get filled up with multitasking and all of these other things that we have to be in control of that we become preoccupied with busyness. I heard a quote this week from Wayne Dyer that the word ego stands for edging God out. When ego, when self-centeredness, when that's all we're focusing on is the focus, we are edging God out. There's no room in our spirits for God to do that new thing that God wants to do. So blessed, Jesus says, are the poor in spirit, for these ones not so full of themselves, for they show us open lives and open hearts that are available for the mercy that reorders their life in the reign or the kingdom of God. You see, every one of the Beatitudes remind us that God's reign is near. The kingdom of heaven is all around us and is available to us if, and this is a big if we repent and if we turn ourselves around. That's what repent means, right? We turn ourselves around into God's direction. And if you and I do that, if we turn to God and open our hearts to God, we begin to see what it means to truly experience the will and way of God that transforms us and blesses us. Brian McLaren once wrote, "It seems that Christianity has become for many an evacuation plan, how to get your soul out of earth into heaven, rather than a transformation plan, how to help God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what Jesus prayed, folks. And this is what living in the kingdom means. One of our newest staff members, resource connector Wendy Barnett Burke, works primarily with our shower ministry guests, but she also helps our childcare employees and families, church members, and seniors at Arcadia to connect them with resources in time of crisis and need. And let me tell y'all something. This Miss Wendy, she is an amazing, amazing person. The more I get to know her, the more I see a heart that is connected to God's kingdom. She is blessed and she is a blessing. She's only been here a few weeks and she's changed the lives of many people. Blessed. You know, churchy words like blessed are sometimes used so much that they lose their true meaning. And churchy words can sometimes be used so little that they have no idea what they really mean or that they're even available to us. And as I was thinking about that being the case with the Beatitudes, either from overuse or underuse, that was when I ran across this word for blessed, that Greek word, makarios. But the first time that I was reading about it, what came to mind was not makarios, but makarios. And it was in my mind immediately, and you know what it went to, right? Yeah, I see y'all going, yeah. My mind immediately went to the Macarena, and that made me smile. And then I couldn't get my head out of it. That beat and that rhythm and the music was just kind of resonating in my heart. So much so, this was on Monday, y'all, that it led me to rewrite the words to the Beatitudes with this tune in mind. And so that's what came to life for me in a very, very new way. And it made me really excited about the Beatitudes. So I'm just going to tell you the first words and then I'm going to invite some friends up to help me. So it's like, blessed poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom. Blessed those who mourn, God's comfort will be yours. Blessed are the meek, God's lavish earth is yours. Hey, Makarios, we're blessed. Now, I kept going and included every one of the Beatitudes in it. And it was so much fun. And so guess what? I'm going to invite you to have some fun, too, this morning. So I've got two helpers that are going to come up. Come on up. They're going to show us, because I have not yet burned the full neural pathway to be able to do motions and words at the same time. So I've got some friends to help with the motions, and I've got the words, and the band has the music, and we're going to just have this full body experience, the whole movement, because let me tell y'all something that I learned, is that mind, body, and spirit are all involved in the kingdom of God. Amen? I love it. So we're going to do it one time for you, and you get to observe. And then we're going to do it again, and those of you who are courageous enough to stand and do it are welcome to do that. If you don't have to. This is just permission giving. If you don't like it, that's fine with me. So anyway, we're going to get started now, and so let's go, boys.
Join us.
And blessed we are when detours come into our lives, when struggles come, when we mourn, when we're persecuted for what we believe, when we still, throughout all of these things, turn ourselves to God throughout our lives to experience God's presence and grace and love. For this is what it means to be blessed. And the people of God said, amen and amen. And if you want a recording of that, go back to the YouTube channel. We'll get the words and we'll get the burrow, get that neural pathway. There you go.